blessing to be here tonight. It's a blessing to, I usually stay most of the day in my study on Wednesday night. The day was all day long today, mostly studying the Word of God. I appreciate the Word of God so much. The more I study, the more I appreciate it. What a blessing it is to read and study and just take out time to thank the Lord. It's such a great blessing. Psalms 107, that might have been the same thing Marshall preached on Sunday night. I don't know what, remember what it was. 107, I'm just going to read two or three of these verses. But that would be a springboard into what I want to speak about tonight. But reading several Psalms and studying, and I got thinking tonight, it's such a great privilege. I thank you, especially for the church, for allowing me to be your pastor as long as I've been here. And I just thank the Lord for giving me time to study and stay in God's Word. And if I didn't say anything tonight, if I just said thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. You know, the Lord reads your heart. And if I was asked each one of you to stand up and just give a testimony for everything that God done for you, you know that we'd be here all night long. And some of you might not want to say anything, you know, you feel in your heart, but you maybe feel like you couldn't speak out loud, maybe in front of public, and you just maybe say thank you for a few things, but you just can't express really the goodness that God has really blessed you with, not just this year, but just for everything, salvation and your family and your health and just so many things that we can say thank you for. Could you really stand up and give about a 30, 40-minute testimony, you know, everybody in here on exactly how you feel and what God's done for you? Some of us might take us hard to do that, to express ourselves, but you see, God reads every one of our hearts. He likes to hear from us. He'd like for us to praise him, but he knows our hearts. And as I said, if I didn't say anything, just, you know, God reads our hearts. And I just like to talk about, you know, the demonstration of our gratitude. How that we might demonstrate to God and show him really our true thankful how he's been good to us, and to demonstrate our gratitude. How can we do this in a real and a tangible way? I mean, thank you, Lord, but how can we really show God and for him to see it and smile upon us and knowing that we're so thankful? Or are we thankful? How can we really show that? Well, there is a relationship between our relationship to God and our relationship to our sacrifices. And that relationship, it extends on out to our spiritual growth. And how that you grow spiritually is the way that you offer up yourself as a sacrifice. And how that we demonstrate our gratitude in our sacrifice and our praise to the Lord is how that you're going to grow spiritually if you're going to grow at all. And then just be grateful from a heart for the sacrifice that we give the Lord. Are you really thankful for the Lord, to the Lord? In Psalm 107, I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2, then verse 22. Then I'll be reading several different verses in the Bible. But it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he have redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Verse 22, "And let them sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Let us pray. Father Jesus, again, we want to thank you, Lord, on this eve of Thanksgiving Day that's been set aside many years ago. Even when our forefathers came over to this land, that you had blessed them for their travel across the ocean and landed at a place, Lord, on this shores. And we want to say thank you, Lord, that you had blessed them. And throughout the years, as we look back, we can just see the thanksgiving, oh God, in the past of our country and the thanksgiving of our past, our life that we live. And Father, for our forefathers, for our grandfathers and our grandmothers and our mothers and fathers, and on down to our generation we're living today, the how that you have blessed us in such a great way in this country, as we know, Lord, that you have been with this country in such a great way. Not only that, but Father, you continuously, Lord, that you're with us, and we want to thank you, although they know many, many people, Lord, is not worshiping you. They're not serving you, Lord. They're not coming, oh God, to give you their worship and their sacrifice. And Father, but yet you love us anyway. We just want to thank you and praise you here this night for all that you've done in the past and what you're going to be doing for us in the future, Lord. And so we just want to thank you and praise you, and the ones that we have on our prayer list, and Lord, that you have touched in a mighty way and brought back home from the hospital through sickness, and those that you are with right now with this terrible disease and sickness, Lord, we be, just be praying for them. We want to thank you for this church, Lord, that you've blessed in a very, very great way, and we thank you for your presence with us tonight upon this congregation, each member of this church, and these blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. How that you're going to demonstrate? You say thank you to God, and you say thank you for this Thanksgiving season, but how are you going to demonstrate your gratitude to him, that he might know that you're thankful? Well, I listed some things here tonight by the sacrifice of our person. That's me and you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5, as I'll read, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also a living stone are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." By sacrificing of our person is one of the ways that we might demonstrate the gratitude what God has done for us by our own way. What does God want from you? What does God want from us today as we want to say, thank you, Lord, for these Thanksgiving. Thank you for your blessings. Well, Romans, as you know so well, Romans 12 and 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." That's what God wants from you. If you want to demonstrate your gratitude to God, and you say, thank you, Lord, well, that's what he wants. He wants our whole body, a living sacrifice, holy unto God. That's what God asked us to sacrifice. And it's a personal sacrifice to start with. I mean, it's for every one of us that's saved. It's a personal sacrifice, and it's for our body, everything we have. Have you ever gave yourself to Jesus? I mean, every bit of it? You say, yes, I've done that whenever I was saved. Do you know, most of the time in our Christian walk of life, when we first get saved, we're closer to the Lord then they are, and sometimes the rest of our spiritual life. At that time, you see, you know that you're certainly dependent nothing on but God. He brought you to a place by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, that you realize that you're just an old sinner. That you realize if you die in the condition that you're in, that there's no way that you can get help. There's no goodness that you do. You can't buy your way out. You're just helpless. If Jesus Christ have not died on a cross for your sins, then you realize if he don't move in upon your life and forgive you of your sins, you're doomed and damned on your way to hell, and there's nothing that you can do about it. You realize that when you come to the very point of salvation, and the Lord showed you through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, that he says, "I will forgive you. Your sins will be tucked away. I'll never remember them no more." And he says, "I'll come into your life and I will save you." And at that time, you was probably closer to God than you may be here this night, or maybe you ever will be. But it don't have to be that way. We can be close to God again. But so many times we know we give our body, but you see, a lot of times we start after we get saved for a little while, and our life moves on in our Christian life. It seems like we gradually, even coming to church at a regular time and doing everything, gradually seem like we begin to take things back from the Lord than we did whenever we first got saved. Have you found that to be true in your own life? Are you just as close to God as you was the day that you got saved? Or is it along in our Christian life, you just gradually went back out, gradually further and further and further away from the Lord? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and your spirit, which are God's." Now, you know, that's what we really need to learn there as a Christian and someone is saved, that these bodies have been bought with a price. To start with, our personal sacrifice. If we want to demonstrate our gratitude to God, it starts off, you know, the sacrifice of our person. And it's personal to me. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. It's personal for every one of us this day to give him our body. Because to start with, he's bought us. For a Christian to understand and to learn that these bodies do not belong to you, it's not your will, it's God's will. Everything in your life belongs to him. He owns everything that you have. You know, you're just a steward over what you have tonight. God's give you everything. You are just a steward. Present our bodies. That's ourself as we do this. But we find the Holy Spirit comes, and every Once in a while, we just kind of take back from God what we give Him. But then we come, and you know, like a night, let's light the night, reading the Bible, studying, you know, and you say, well, you know, I need to give this back to the Lord. Is there something here tonight that you need to give back to the Lord that you have just gradually took away from the time that you first got saved? I mean, is there something, you know, that you need to give back? You know, it no longer that the Holy Spirit controls, but you want to control it yourself. You know, if you want a demonstrate of gratitude tonight from the Lord, I'm going to tell you, you're going to present your body a living sacrifice. That means the time like you was when you first got saved. Then think about that I used to. I want to think about you used to. How you used to do this and you used to do that for the Lord. And now how are you doing now? So many people, they used to, but gradually they took it back in their life. Maybe somebody used to sing. Somebody used to do this, and they used to teach Sunday school, and they used to do this. They used to come on a regular basis. They used to tithe, and they don't tithe anymore. Used to. You see, we take things back. But it says to start with, you know, that's our personal sacrifice. You've got to do that. If you want to demonstrate the grace, I mean, you want to demonstrate the gratitude that you say, God, thank you. If you want to demonstrate it, it starts off, you know, it's a personal sacrifice. But not only that, it's a personal sacrifice, too. It's got a purpose in it for this sacrifice. By the mercies of God. Now, that's the purpose that we give our body, by the mercies of God, based on which we have, he have made the sacrifice for us, the mercies of God. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's the reason that we can offer our bodies a sacrifice. The purpose of this sacrifice is because what He's done for us by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God, can you say thank you, Lord, tonight at a thanksgiving scene? And why that you can say that is because of the mercy of God. Can you say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? Thank you, Lord, for giving me. Thank you, Lord, for me. The reason that you can say that, the reason that you can demonstrate the gratitude in your life is because the mercy of God. Without the mercy of God, you couldn't say thank you, Lord. It's strictly by the mercies of God that we're able to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to get out of bed of a morning. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have no pain in my body. Thank you, Lord, for just going on and on and on. It's because of the mercies of God. Thank you, Lord, that He's brought me. Thank you, Lord, that you opened up my blinded eyes that I might see the sinful condition that I was in. Thank you, Lord, that I see each day. It's by the mercies of God that you're with me every day. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not this and I'm not that because of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. Thank you, Lord. It's by the mercies of God, not of you, not of me, not what we do, but the mercies of God. That's the reason that we can offer our personal sacrifice to God, for the mercies of God. It has a purpose in it. It has a purpose in it, by the mercy of God. God's not going to make people come and worship Him. God's not going to make them. By your own choosing, a purpose of sacrifice. I'll never understand that people say they're saved. I'll never understand a knowledge that we've been bought with the price, as I said, every one of us, and then they won't worship God. I'll never understand that. I know a lady not too long ago brought it to my attention, and she didn't go to church except on Sunday morning and Sunday school, and she said, I don't see nowhere in the Bible it says I have to go to church every time the doors is open. You see, someone with that type of mindset has got it all wrong. Because God, you don't have to come to church at all. If you come because you have to, you need to stay home or get right with God. You don't have to. You see, while she don't understand it, nothing she has to do, it's something that she gets to do. You know, I got to come to church tonight. You know, we got a lot of people couldn't come tonight. I guarantee there's some people that want to be here tonight. And I got to come. But not only that, I got to come and preach the Word of God. I got to study all day long today. It ain't nothing I had to do. You Sunday school teachers, you don't have to teach Sunday school. But I'm telling you something, you know, that you get to do. You don't have to come and sing in this choir and play music. You don't have to. But it's something that you get to do. You don't have to come and sit and listen to me. It's not me that's talking. It's the Word of God. But it's something you get to do. And get to be with God's people. Something we get to do. Oh, the mindset of some people, I don't have to go to church. No, you don't have to. You don't have to, but you should want to. We got the wrong thing when you think we said we have to. It's a present your sacrifice. You presented a sacrifice there. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you know present yourself. It's you that's doing this. But it's a very, very powerful, powerful sacrifice. It says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Saved, holy, set apart for God. And it's holy, but also it's whole. That's your whole body, not partial. Partial obedience is total disobedient. It's disobedient. Partial sacrifice is no sacrifice at all. It's no sacrifice at all. So it's a very, very powerful sacrifice. God will not be a part-time Lord. He's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. At all. We're living in a country that Christ, most of the time that we're living in a country that God have not asked us to die for him. Christ has not asked us to die for him in this country. It might be for it's over with. But he just asked us to live for him, a living sacrifice. You're never ready to live for Christ until you're ready to die for Christ. You know, several years ago at Columbine High in Colorado, several got killed there. Those kids got killed. Nancy Manal, you know, she stood up in that library and, you know, that gunman, that young teenage boy asked her, do you believe in God? She said, yes, I do. And he blew her head off. Would you be able to die for Christ tonight? I'm going to tell you, that girl could not have done that unless she was ready. She could not have died that way unless God had blessed her in such a way that she was ready to die for him, and he chose for her to die for him. But you know what he's asked us tonight? I hope no gunman don't come in here tonight, but he's not asked us to do that. He's asked us to live for him. As you say, you can't live for him until you're ready to die for him. Paul says, yet I live not, but you know what? But Christ who liveth through me. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, and you see, I was nailed to the cross with him, my old nature. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice was bound to the altar as it being burnt. In that sacrifice, in the Old Testament, you're looking at pictures that you know that we are a living sacrifice. That was a dead sacrifice. But see, this sacrifice was on the altar. That sacrifice had no will of its own. It just laid there. It had no will of its own. You see, you are a living sacrifice. That's a dead sacrifice. You have no will of your own. You've been bought with a price. It's not your will. It's God's will. You know, that sacrifice wasn't going anywhere. It was dead. It wasn't going anywhere. It just laid right there. You know what? You're dead to Christ Jesus and alive to Christ Jesus also. We're dead to sin. We're dead to self. We're dead to Satan, but we're alive in Christ Jesus. You died with Christ when he died 2,000 years ago, but you rose with Christ also. You see, by the sacrifice of our praise. Now, how are we going to demonstrate our gratitude? You say thank you now, this Thanksgiving season. Now, when we say thank you, Lord, you just think about this. How are we going to demonstrate this when we say thank you, Lord? If you're thankful now, how are we going to do it? You know, it's by the sacrificing of our person to start with. That's what he wants. And then you know about sacrifice of our praise is a second thing. To demonstrate our gratitude by the sacrifice of our praise. In Hebrews 13 and 15 it says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen for that. What can you give God that he don't already have? You want to show your demonstration of your gratitude? What could you give God that he don't already have? You think you might give him your money? He's got the money of the world. He don't need your money. I'll talk about this a little bit in just a minute. But he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. What can you really give God that he don't already have? His righteousness? He is the king of righteousness. You can't give him your righteousness because your righteousness are filthy rags inside of God. In fact, he gives his righteousness to us that makes us righteous. Only thing that we can give God he don't have is our praise. Is our praise. You know, as we sing songs, we praise the Lord in songs, and we worship him. We give God our praise. Something that he don't have. He desires it, and he delights in our prayers, in our praise. I just, like I say, I can't understand why anybody that say that they're saved and they have seen Jesus Christ, and like I said, he's come into their life, and yet you have to beg them to come and praise God in the worship service. I cannot never explain it. Come and praise God. Looked like to me if they just once in a while just heard that old song, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Don't look like to me if someone was saved and they heard that song sung one time. If they say, don't look like you could keep them out of the doors of a church. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And it goes through a home, a house, a food, our clothes, our family, and everything else. And it just goes on and on and on. Thank you, Lord, if they're saved. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Praise. Praise God. And as we hurry along here tonight, we find that, you know, the demonstration of God's gratitude by the sacrifice of our possessions that we're going to talk about. Start with it's our person, our body, then it's our praise, and then it's our possession, these three things. Now, the Old Testament, always, whenever they come to the temple, always as they come to worship, they always come with an offering as they come to worship. In Hebrews 13 and 16, it says, but to do good and to communicate or share, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. You start giving. Always they come with something to give and worship. Now, y'all remember what it says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 7 and 8? Ye offer polluted bread. This is when the nation of Israel now had been in their homeland for many years and had got away from God so many times. It's the last book in the Old Testament. When the nation of Israel was so far from God. In fact, God, after the book of Malachi, he closed up heaven for over 400 years. From the Old Testament to Malachi to the New Testament, we find out it's been over 400 years God have not spoke through his prophets. Not a sound from heaven. They were so far from God at this time, the nation of Israel, not a sound. None of the prophets, not a word from heaven, because God's people. And remember now, all the whole Bible, it come through the nation of Israel. It come through the Jews. This is where it come from, the scriptures, the holy prophets, it's all. Not a sound from God, not a sound from heaven, until we know that Jesus Christ was born. It says that they were so far from God in Malachi, and that what they was offering him. And think, that makes me think of us today. He says in verse 7, chapter 1 of Malachi, verse 1 and 7, ye offer polluted bread upon thy altar. You see, the showbread was supposed to be bread baked fresh. And ye say, wherein have we polluted there? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And ye offer the blind of sacrifice. Is not that evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governors. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? You know what they was doing? Well, they go on time to offer. You see, when they offered a sacrifice, they go out to the herds. They make sure they pick one out without spot or blemish. You know what they was doing? Well, listen, this is going to die anyway. It's got a messed up foot. You know, it can't eat, can't get around, and it's going to die anyway on a sacrifice. Let's just get this one and offer it to the Lord. God said, you take that down to the governor when it comes time to pay your taxes, and you offer him your offerings there of a goat, sheep, a herd that's messed up and lame. See if you get by with that. In other words, it comes to pay your income tax. You give him what little bit, you just give the income tax the governor what you want them to have. That's what we do to God. You know, they demand so much out of us. There are a certain percent that they demand out of us, eternal revenue service. You see, God demands a certain percent out of us also. You begin with a tithe, and that's the foundation. Then you start going on up. That's just to start with. You try to give out to the governors, you know, and see how far that you'll get with that. Just give them what you want to give them. Giving is so important because it's for your best. God says it's for your best. And we ought to be responsible for giving God our best. That we ought to be responsible for giving God our best. Several words in the Bible I looked up today, and believe is mentioned 272 times. Prayer mission mentioned 371 times. Love is mentioned 714 times. Giving is mentioned 2,162 times. Giving. Because it blesses us. God don't need it, but we need to give. It's for you. For you. Just like the tithe that I'm talking about. It's for you. It's for you. Giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. Giving makes us more like God than any other time. John 3:16, God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. It makes us more like God. God so loved the world. Because we become like God. Conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and we begin to give. Gives us giving, as we give, it draws us closer to God. Matthew 6 and 20 says, "Now lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and neither do thieves do break through nor steal." Lay it up in heaven. We give things that, you know, we can carry to heaven with us. Now, what is it that we can carry to heaven with us? Certainly it's not going to be our money, is it? You know, the only thing we can carry to heaven with us, and that's souls. That's souls. Anytime that we try to give and help, we're going to be giving somebody to heaven. We're going to help get somebody to heaven. You know, our giving is we give through the church, and you give, our giving helps someone get saved. You know, as our mission, and we're going to have a meeting to try to get more money for our missions. And, you know, when we get to heaven, you know, you're going to say, "Well, you want it gave." And that, you know, that missionary come by and he told me about Jesus Christ. It's our giving. Giving helps us put God first in our life also. And this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6 and 33. It's my favorite verse of Scripture when I talk about giving. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God promised us that he would meet every need that we have. I can say, "Lord, you've been very faithful, that you have met every need I've ever had." He did not promise us he'd meet our greed. He did not promise us he'd meet our greed. You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. So many people trying to beat the system. They think they can make it. God's not going to meet all of our wants. God taught me this a long, long time ago. Giving strengthens my faith in God. Malachi 3 and 10. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive." I'm going to tell you what, that is a very, very, very helpful verse of Scriptures. Because that's one of the verses of Scripture. God says, "You go ahead and test me and see. You go ahead and test me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings too big." It took me a long time to understand a little bit about that verse. I still don't know all about it. But I tell you, he'll help you. Deuteronomy 14 and 22 says, "Thou shalt surely tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year," the tenth of it, the tithing. How very, very important it is. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in your life. That's one of the greatest teachings in the Bible. Giving is also an investment for eternity. Matthew 6 and 20 again, "Store up in heaven." This life is only just a dressing room for eternity. Y'all know that, don't you? As I was talking to someone before service, soon this life will be over. And God has allowed you and me as Christians to get in on his eternal plan. He allowed us to get in on his eternal plan. But I'm going to tell you what, when you see all the glory and all the souls that you've helped to win in heaven, store up for yourself treasures in heaven as an investment. And the ministry, we have a great ministry of young people here at this church, and our youth and our young people. We need to remember that and help them. Giving always results in receiving. Luke chapter 6 and 38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, whereof it shall be measured to you again." And 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 7, 8. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he that soweth abundantly, abountifully, shall reap also abundantly," or abundantly. You know, you're gonna reap what you sow. Giving is the key to success in our Christian life, whether you realize it or not. You know, because sacrifice and success goes together. Not success this world looks at, but success as a Christian tonight. Acts chapter 20 and 35 says, "I have showed you all things, now that so labor ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." And Mark 8 and 35 said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Demonstration of our gratitude. So when we bow our head at our Thanksgiving dinners around the table and this whole Thanksgiving season, you just think about now as you look back on your life and you say, thank you, Lord. And I think tonight it could be a time just to really thank the Lord. But really, how are we really going to demonstrate really our gratitude for what God has done and doing is going to do for us? You think about this, and this outline that I've showed you tonight is a good way to start. It'll keep you busy the rest of this week, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Would anybody like to stand up and give a praise or give a testimony at this time? Anybody got anything to thank the Lord for? Thank you, Johnny. Anyone else? Anybody else got anything to be thankful for? Yeah.